Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am your Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players. Brandon.
I am Ekarut Hoonschlay, half-orc, level 6, bloodhunter.
Caleb.
I am Kaito Atata. I have an axe. I'm a warforged barbarian.
Tomo!
Hey, I'm Steve Tedman. I am a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger, level 1 rogue, and I have a magic owl.
Multi-classer.
Fancy.
Raiden.
I'm Raiden. I am playing Belek Dagar, level 6 half-elf warlock.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards, the party makes to leave the city of Polm as Dante the Messenger brings news, support, and food have arrived from Lantern, oversea to the west, but no reply from the city of Iz to the east. So, after equipping themselves with some seriously heavy-hitting magical weapons, the gang gather their steeds and pass out through the city gates unnoticed and ride the Eastern Road. The four adventurers scout out the fortified city of Iz, waiting until dusk falls to infiltrate the exterior walls, as it becomes clear that the town is heavily garrisoned and patrolled by fearsome gnoll warriors. Once inside the walls, conflicting motivations and tensions mount within the group, and despite their stealthy disposition and careful reconnaissance, an errant fart threatens to derail their plans.
Yes.
Wah, wah.
It was more of a squeaker.
Just a hot, steamy. A construct steamer.
Construct steamer. Sounds like a really good villain name.
Construct steamer.
Okay. So we are beset from the south. Is that the
right, Steve? On watch, you would have been the first, you know, to notice that these patrols of, you know, three or so gnolls seem to be evenly spaced and encroaching on your position on the inner angle here of the outside of the keep of Iz, and you have seen them, and you begin to feel Steve as this toot releases into the darkening sky, that your position is almost being immediately compromised.
Alright, and we are right up against a wall as well, right? There's no... We're inside the town, up against the wall. How high up is the wall?
Correct. The Keep of Iz is like two fairly large stories and then topped by, you know, turrets and parapets. So you'd be looking at least 30 feet, you know, to the top, and maybe 25 feet to the upper window, and maybe 8 or so feet to, you know, a lower arrow slit type window. But this is sort of an impassable side of the keep, and you are looking at what must be sort of a mustering grounds in front of the keep that is bordered or enclosed by about like an 8-foot wall.
Can I Jackie Chan myself up onto this wall by using the corner, like right here? Do a little wall run.
Well, Steve, as you start beginning to look carefully at the means of gaining some height on this situation, your keen senses, Steve, I mean, you are seeing not just that group of three or so gnolls rounding the keep and slowly getting closer to the party, but you have seen this other formation of men, and it looks to be including a man or a figure in blue armor, and this is actually the exact direction that you're looking in, Steve. You could theoretically Jackie Chan up there. You would also be closing the distance between these now in the courtyard here, several figures.
But and they've all noticed us. Like I'm noticing them noticing us.
You are getting the impression that this patrol of three is okay. Literally in the moment of noticing you, Steve, and it's only by the grace of Dan, you know, that you and Rook are sort of looking outwardly as the rest of the party here behind you doesn't quite have the same view of the courtyard around the keep.
Just the three of them notice us so far. Okay.
Dagger them. Silent but deadly.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Although the... Oh, God, I don't want to move.
Where was the blue figured guy?
Inside the courtyard.
Inside the courtyard.
Yeah, we're kind of seeing him through the windows, I suppose you could call them.
Where is this man? Well, Beleg, as you sort of turn around and avoid the noxious stink in your immediate area, yeah, you start to become way more aware of your predicament here, and you would be looking out over Steve and Rook's shoulder and into the dusk. Yes, just seeing a patrol of three gnolls coming around the keep, and yes, a larger formation that includes a tall figure, blue armor.
So I guess Steve will mutter under his breath, Oyaku.
Oyaku.
And so these three here have seen us. I am... Fuck. Okay. Ugh.
How far away are they?
Far enough that I would have to use my short bow, which isn't an issue.
They're like 140 away?
Yeah. It's either that or we move north to the houses there.
Better cover.
Yeah, at least we can put our. I mean, we're gonna if we settle down here, our backs are against the wall, and there's a.
Yeah, I think we should try back and the other way because we don't want to meet these guys head on. I can't really scale walls that great.
Like, I'm not gonna tell you how many gnolls there are here, guys, but like, there's a lot of gnolls.
If you see Oyaku, then we shouldn't fight him in the open this early.
I mean, there's one of him, but there's a lot of gnolls here, guys.
Yeah, so I say we head back.
Yeah, let's do it then.
All right, Steve, you're motioning to the party there to like sort of back along the wall from whence you came, this opening in the neighborhood to the north.
Yeah.
Okay, now you'd still be, you guys would still be trying to keep very near to Steve under the, what was it again, Steve?
Oh, the pass without trace?
Right, under the pass without trace. And although, Steve, you feel that your party and your position is becoming precarious, sure, yeah, you motion to your friends here to make a move and stay close.
Yeah.
I follow.
Yeah,
lead the way, Steve. At a quick but stealthy pace.
At a medium pace.
Okay, as you guys approach the northeastern corner here of the keep, you now have an approximately 100-foot or so distance between the edge of the keep from whence you came out of the neighborhood.
We need to cross over to that.
Can Stolas fly to the other building and like watch up to the left?
Yeah.
Like just so we can see up further.
Here.
Just so we know when it's clear.
Like up to there, up to the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
Because I feel like around the corner to the left, there might be something. I don't really want to poke my head out.
There is, Steve, you know, the two or three story, but mostly one story buildings that you can send Stolas the owl across to for reconnaissance, and Stolas would alert you immediately. to a knoll patrol. This is the one circling around the keep, going away from your position, but awfully close to this corner that you guys have crept up to.
All right. Knoll patrol is like what all the kids watch.
All right, Steve is going to do like a commando style, like three fingers, eyes, sees eyes, and then like the kill motion.
Kill, okay.
You're going to sneak attack these guys?
Yeah, Steve's going to boop loop 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 loop. And when I get to dagger range, they're eating daggers.
We got to stay on you, right? To stay.
Yeah.
At the moment, Steve, as you make this motion, and Rook and Kaito and Beleg, as you see Steve make a move, there are three gnolls that are surprised. You are seeing them on their, you know, rear left flanks. They are marching away from you, and they are within they're within range.
Eating so many daggers right now.
Okay, in this case, then, the four of you, can you roll initiative so we can see what happens here in this surprise round? Roll me a little initiative.
21 for Steve.
Ooh, 15.
Stolas gets a 3. God damn it.
That's a 10 for Beleg.
Not gonna be good. Oh, well, I got a natural 1, so that's a 3 for me.
Tied with the owl.
Yeah.
Well then, Steve, you were correct. You will be throwing daggers.
I light these motherfuckers up.
Yeah, roll against AC, and you would see here they're in a triangular formation, so two are in the rear, their backs closest to you and exposed. The one in the front is shielded by the two in the back.
Okay. Well, the closest one is going to eat the first one. Oh, natural 20 to start.
Nice.
He's exploding.
Nom nom nom.
Om nom nom. So that is 4, so that is 2.
He likes it. Yum yum yum.
Is that 19?
Okay, 19 damage?
Yeah.
Rear knoll on the left or rear knoll on the right?
This dude right there.
Okay. Total of 19 damage to one knoll?
Yeah.
Hey, with one dagger?
Yeah.
This gnoll is not down, and you see this dagger bury itself through his hide armor into his back.
The second one is a 10, so I don't think that's going to work.
That does not hit.
Third one is a 22.
That does hit. Damage?
21 damage.
Whoa. Okay. He is dead.
Yay.
However, that second dagger that flew astray, that second dagger flies off the mark and clatters between the other two gnolls, and they turn around. The surprise round is now interrupted and roll initiative again, because Rook, in the back of the party, as you stand sort of back to back with Steve and you guys huddle close, you notice a patrol of three gnolls approaching from behind the party, and you are seen.
Alright then.
Alright.
Two parties of gnolls. So one to the north, one to the south. The one to the north has, you know, already had a casualty. The one to the south has come around from the front and has spied the party.
That initiative was a nat 20 for Beleg.
How far is the one to the south? Or the rear?
They're coming up on your rear at about 100 feet. Approximately, you know, halfway down the wall of the keep here. And they are charging. 20 for Beleg.
That's for Steve.
18 for Rook.
Mine would be a 22 if I had it.
But you go first because you got the crit.
So I got the 11. Yeah.
Okay, you're so number Beleg one. Beleg in the pole position. Steve second. Brando, that was a lot better than 3. 18?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stolas is a 7.
Okay. And Mr. Kaitoa?
11.
Okay. As you guys begin to spin around and note, you know, these foes here, it will be you first, Beleg, to act.
This guy's dead too, right?
Yeah, the back left.
Yeah, there you
go. Yeah, yeah.
I like the blood stain.
Splat.
All right, I'm going to fire two Eldritch Blasts, one at each of the other two gnolls in front of us. Try and cover that front.
Okay, Beleg, half-elf, you're targeting that same party you just dealt blows to, so Eldritch Blast and a double-barreled Eldritch Blastin'?
Yeah, I got two Eldritch Blasts that I can shoot.
That's a roll against AC.
Yeah, separate roll for each beam.
All right, hit him up.
Oh, I was in that one for the first one. It sat on 19, and then it was like, no, just fuck over. You. Yeah. Wow. And that's an 18 on the second one.
Now, the 18 hits as your first blast, you know, screeches by and kind of echoes off the walls. So deal damage on the one you hit with 18, Beleg.
7 to this one.
All right, 7 damage. What is that? Is that force damage?
Let's see. I don't think so. Yeah, it is. You're right.
What else you got, Beleg?
That's all I've got for now. I'm just going to steady myself and keep watch on these two surviving ones on this front.
Steve, you're up.
All right, well, that guy's going to eat some more daggers then.
Rolla.
So first one is 17 to hit.
That will hit.
7, 12, 22 damage.
Nice.
God.
So an extra d6 I get now for when I attack on advantage, the sneak attack from roguiness.
From your roguery. Not down at this gnoll, but seriously right. Bloodied and taken aback. It looks like you've taken him like within an inch of fighting capability. Do you have more daggers, Steve?
I have two more.
All right.
So that is 22 to hit.
That will connect, obviously. You still going for Bloody Knoll?
Yeah, 21 damage.
Gone, and staggers back. And now you only have one fresh Knoll in this patrol of three to the north left alive.
I throw my offhand at him. Ugh, okay. That's gonna miss. That was a 7.
Alright, and there, finally, is this frothing gnoll staring down the party from the north. And you're now up. Brandon, Mr. Erook.
How far away is he?
Yeah, this remainder, this last survivor, is gonna be 50 feet away from you. And then to your south, you would now see, still dashing towards you, this other patrol of three gnolls, and they are closing in. They would be 75 feet or so.
Sorry, Robert, before we go forward, can I start moving towards the gnoll? I want to move, keep, like, stay on the move kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You want to burn some movement?
Yeah.
Go for it, buddy.
And is everybody else aware of this other party coming towards us?
Yeah.
From behind? Yeah. Okay. I think I'm gonna have to longbow it. Or did I...
I gave you back the longbow. I've got the shortbow now. I bought that. Okay. I got that kick-ass shortbow. I don't really need the longbow.
Well, I'm going to longbow shoot at... Well, whoever's the closest of the three on the other patrol coming at us.
1d8.
Can we see the other front?
No, not yet. Or not on roll 20.
Okay. Double checking.
But
theater of the mind, you can.
Yeah.
All right. Ooh, I'm going to use an inspiration on that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we all got stocked up.
Aw, oh, damn it.
I'm just trying to find my adder on my longbow here. It's not going to help, but anyways, I rolled a 5. I don't know what my adder is, but it's probably not going to help.
It's either somewhere between plus 3 and 5, but you're falling shy. And Beleg, you know, as a good point here, yeah, these knolls to the south are just outside of the range of the torchlight from the city or from the neighborhoods and from the torchlight from the keep. They're in that shadowy pocket. So it was an extremely difficult shot, Rook, and you feel like you probably missed as you shoot into the darkness.
Okay, I've got another action, right? So I can shoot again?
You can.
Well, I will do that. Oh my god, damn it. I'm not rolling very well at all. I rolled a 2, so yeah, I'm fucked.
Alright, Rook, as your bow twangs, with your dark vision, you clearly are seeing your quarry, these three gnolls, and they are now encroaching fast on your position from the south. What else in your move? You got some movement, free action, interaction, anything else?
They're still 75 feet away. I guess I'll just put my longbow away and pull out my 2 short swords and be at the ready.
Okay. Now you will see these gnolls here advance a startling amount. They are dashing towards you, party, and closing the distance between them and Rook. And now you see these three gnolls, fearsome, dash out of the dank dustiness, and they are literally within 15 feet of the back of the party here. You are up now, Kaitoa.
Yep. So how far are they? 15, you said?
Kaitoa, they are in your 30-foot range. As you spin around, you're now back-to-back with Beleg, and you see who Rook has been firing off shots at. And yeah, they're right in your melee range.
So I'm going to move the 20 feet to get within 5 of the leading gnoll. I'm going to rage.
Yeah.
I am going to use my great weapon mastery, and I can pull out this new fucking Vodag, and I'm going to start swinging.
Okay, you have closed the distance between you and these three gnolls, the gnoll patrol, and yep. Swing against this first gnoll's AC with your new... So this is the oversized great axe. It is monstrous.
Yep. Ooh, fifth... Oh, no. So minus 5... What do I got? Ooh, 11.
The momentum has carried your blade too far, and you swing wide above this gnoll's head.
Okay, second attack. Ooh, not hit neither.
God.
Double swing and a miss.
You have missed again, Kaitoa, and now you are faced with these three gnolls. They're right up in your grill.
Yep. It's just that new axe smell.
That's I had a feeling that's why I didn't reckless, because I was like, I'm not taking the disadvantage on attack. I'm probably going to get hit here. Okay, bring it on.
The gnoll in the original patrol heading around the north of the keep looks at you, Steve, and you have moved out into that position. And he gives a cry. He looks up at the sky. And Steve, immediately you would notice archers on the walls.
Ruh-roh. Fudge.
First. No, that's way off. 19 versus your AC, Mr. Steve.
That's a miss.
Oh, what?
I mean, sick. I hit.
I was like, when did that happen?
Super breastplate.
My AC is amazing.
Yeah, no, that's a hit.
Steve, you have been hit for 9 damage.
Fuck.
Okay. And this gnoll, the one who called up to the walls of the keep, he is beginning to turn. and now he is fleeing away from your immediate vicinity. Steve and Beleg, you would see this, and Rook and Kaitoa, you probably not. Your backs are turned as you engage the three to the south.
What about Stolas?
Man, they rolled. Yeah, sorry. Stolas, then Knowles, then top of the order.
Boom, boom, boom. Far. Okay, Stolas is just gonna be a mid-flight, I guess. Over here. Hey.
Okay. So Steve, your owl familiar has sort of rejoined to kind of plug in the hole that's developing in the middle of the party here.
Yeah, he's just up in the air.
Mid-flight. Wings. And Kaitoa, who's just asking the gnolls, like, what are you not going to engage? You're not disappointed. Good. As you feel one and then two mean rusty knoll blades bounce off your almost impenetrable hide, and again a third knoll is unable to connect here, Kaitoa. Although you notice their demeanor is completely ferocious. They're not backing down, but you take no damage.
Sweet.
Steve and Beleg, who's up first? They're natural Beleg. You're up at the top of the order.
Oh. Hey, Steve, you think we could take out this guy that's running?
Yep.
All right. I'll fire both my Eldritch Blast at the runner.
Not the archers?
Damn.
I want the guy who's running away.
That's true. He's a coward.
So that's a 19. And a 20, non-natural.
Oh, on target. So both of these hits, you're able to easily take this guy's legs out from under him, about 80 feet away. Boom, boom. Damage?
First one is a 10. Or as Maddie thought when he used to roll his D10s, it was a 0.
Oh, man. I did
so. Oh, shit. Second one's a 10. So that's 20.
Yeah.
You can't roll a 0.
Total. Okay, well, you have indeed taken the legs out from under this knoll, and as you sort of hit him once and twice from the rear with these creepy blasts, you see him kind of tripping over his feet, and he seemed to have definitely damaged him significantly and slowed his escape.
That's max damage, I hope so. And that's all I've got.
You would then pass the baton to Steve.
Alright. So he's still running though, right?
Yeah, the runner is just at the edge of your 60-foot dagger throwing range and seriously impeded but still moving.
Okay.
You feel he may be moving at 50% of his max speed.
Ah, damn it.
If a gnoll is running away from you at 50% of his max speed,
if I attack him, it's just at regular attack.
Yeah, at this range, I feel like it'll just be regular attack.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, I pull the bow.
The eager short bow is quick to thirst for blood. You want to try training a beat on this guy with the bow?
Heck yeah, I do.
All right.
Well, I don't need to roll advantage as I normally do with it because I rolled as good as I can possibly get. That's a 20.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, then, what's damage on our eager shortbow here? Is it a plus one?
It's a d6. Damn it. I think it's to damage. Plus two to damage.
We better find out. That sounds pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's not. It's advantage on hit, plus two to damage, I believe.
Okay,
is what
let's pull up the Wizard and Spear Sweet Magical Item list. Here it is. This plus two to damage shortbow makes all attacks at advantage.
Yeah, wow.
That's disgusting.
It's a nice shortbow. Plus two damage, yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's 8 plus 7 for 15 plus 10 for 25.
All right, you are seeing your arrow fly true, Steve. How would you say you take out this running gnoll?
I think it's just it's one of those ones where I fire a little high and it just arcs up and then drops down through his skull. top of his skull, the point of the tip. The arrowhead basically exits through his mouth.
Ooh. I love it when the arrowhead exits through the mouth.
Like heavy metal with cartoons.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It's just a fun little... Instead of a direct shot, it's almost like Steve just arcs it up for fun and catches him as it comes down.
Watch this.
The Northern Knoll Patrol is now gone, save for, you know, the two archers up on the corner of the wall here who kind of joined them in their round of initiative. Steve, what else you got?
I've got one more bow shot.
All right.
Knoll on the left here. All right, second shot. Fuck. Okay. 19. It's 19. Fuck.
Yeah, you'll connect with that.
3 for 9, and then plus 7, 16 plus, so 26.
That was a nasty shot, a headshot from a low oblique angle through the parapets, and he staggers back. I mean, you would have taken this guy, you know, right in the face, in the cheek somewhere, and you now only see one beady Knoll head. It looks like this guy has staggered back. Could he be dead? Who can say?
This is how that say? Again.
It's safe.
I'll help him find it. All right. And then Steve moves.
Okay, you got your max movement. You're now kind of out in no man's land there. Where are you making for, Steve?
Yep.
Oh, just ditching the robot.
There is an alleyway between the neighborhood from whence you guys came in your initial infiltration. And Steve, you know, you're now able to make it to that wall of buildings. Anything else in your move?
No, that's my action movement. That's me.
So all three of the guys to our north are done, right?
Correct. Rook, you are up next.
Yeah, so those guys that just attacked Kaitoa are within my melee attacking range, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would only have to stomp up maybe 75% of your movement to be shoulder to shoulder with Kaitoa.
Shoulder to shoulder. Okay. Well, I'll go up and attack whichever one's first.
Yeah, you're gonna move like 10 feet, I think.
Yeah, so whichever Knoll is closest to me, I'm going to attack him with my
D's. Short
swords. Yeah.
All right, the dual-wielding half-orc. With the wall of the Keep of Iz to your right, you would now be stomping up to Kaitoa, who's on your left, and the one closest to you would be on Kaitoa's right, and roll against Stacy.
Okay, well, my first roll there is a 23.
You're connecting immediately.
Okay, and damage of 5. Let's see here. The second one there is a 13.
You're not connecting with the second hit.
And then I've got my extra attack, right?
Si, senor.
Si. Okay, well, that's a 21.
Okay, although your middle strike here clanged off of this Knoll's shoulder plate, the third hit is connecting, gives some damage.
7.
Okay, so you've taken a total of 12 off this Knoll, and as you start to slice up this Knoll's side, yeah, he has taken notice, and Kaitoa begins to be sort of relieved immediately from the onslaught. Anything else in your move, Rook?
I am going to change one of my short swords to my machete. Be at the ready.
Quick weapon change there, Rook. What was it I forget here? Kaitoa, you're 11. And yeah. The first round of Knolls is decimated. Ah, but not the archers. That's right.
Yeah.
So you're going to feel one arrow coming down at you, party. And it is going to strike Beleg with a 19 versus AC.
Oh, yeah.
And you will take a Knoll arrow. You know, so maybe your upper shoulder must have found a place between your breastplate as it clasps over your neck. It's not terrible, but you will take 6 damage.
All right.
And Kaitoa, you are now staring down the gnolls who have been slap-chopped by Rook. Then they're all within your 5 feet.
Oh, yeah. Same one, or one closest to me. Not the injured one. I'm going to go for the other guys. Still raged. Still going to go with the Great Weapon Master. First roll is a 15. Or, sorry, 14.
For 14 does my not crack the seal on gnoll armor.
Fucker. Okay. Well, I might have to stop using that because I ain't hitting shit. Yeah, then the second one is an 11.
Well, you and these gnolls seem to be trading blows without dealing damage. Anything else in your move, Kaitoa?
No.
Fucking capoeira fight going on over there.
Yeah, I gotta stop using that with these guys.
Capoeira fight.
Ponytail, Brazil. 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 Brazil.
And a lot of attention. Then you have what Stolas and these three gnolls bringing up the rear, but Stolas first, I think. Yeah.
At 7. All right. He's going to do a little diddly over at this guy here. He's going to fly by, do a little fly off. That guy takes the next attack at advantage, whoever attacks him.
Okay, so Steve, although you are kind of pulling back away from this square-shaped turret on the northeastern point of the keep, you've sent Stolas the Owl Familiar back, a little talon in the face. Anybody shooting the archer at advantage? Okay, the helm action. Okay. Now, three gnolls. Try their luck again. And immediately an 18, Kaitoa. That will feel like damage.
Yep, that hits.
And that's an 8.
Halved.
And that's 4.
Okay.
A second strike comes at you, and you're able to parry this away with the head of your axe. And I don't think that's going to do it either. 15. 15.
Beats it.
So you didn't add anything. So you're not a breastplate man. Okay, so that is going to hit, but we're going to half it.
Yeah.
Not a breastplate man.
It is a 6, so 3.
Okay. Down to 60.
And all three of these gnolls still in your grill. Top of the order, Beleg, and the scene unfolds before you. Kaitoa and Rook directly to your south in your 15-foot vicinity. Archer up top, popping off but getting a face full of feathers. And Steve quickly to the north, making for the neighborhoods.
I'm going to go for that archer.
Okay, you'll be able to see his beady gnoll eyes here in between the parapets. You go on Eldritch Blast.
Yep. So am I rolling with advantage or am I rolling normal?
You get advantage on it.
Your Stolas help action will give you an advantage on this guy.
Sweet. So that was a 24 on the first roll. And a 15 on the second.
You hear sort of a filthy reverberating as your blasts echo up the walls here. And you see this gnoll really taking some harsh damage. So both of these have connected?
Yeah. First one's a 1. Not so good. Second one's a 3. 4 damage.
The sound was quite intimidating and impressive. The damage, not so much.
Not so much. That just brought his attention back to me for another volley.
No doubt. But nonetheless, I mean, you guys can see here your foe who's raining arrows on you from on high here has been hit. Beleg, what else you got in your move? You got movement, interaction.
Is there a way that I could like nestle in closer to the wall below the archer so it's harder for him to hit me? So he can't certainly. See me?
If you see where Rook is below the angle where he could get hit by an arrow. So you'd have to get within 10 feet of the wall.
Like
there you go. And now you would essentially feel that unless this guy, you know, lurched right over and shot directly down, which is a very tough shot, you're safe from the archer.
See.
Okay. The B to the leg, and now the S to the Teeve.
Alrighty. Alright, I guess I'm using the bow, and this guy is going to get shot.
Alright, Steve, as you have opened up the angle, as you move further and further away from the keep, of course, you're getting a better angle of that top parapet, and you do see a second knoll that clearly you shot, you know, staggering around, so there are two foes. Up there, both of them have been hit.
All right. So number one is the staggery guy. I want to put him down.
Okay.
This little guy here. So I guess he's got like one arrow in one ear, and an arrow in the other.
It's a fashion.
Plugs are in these days.
God damn it. I really like this die. It's really high. I'm going to say 19. Plus one, plus three. So 23. Or 22.
Okay, there's no problem. As your arrow arcs into the sky, hitting this knoll, roll me some damage.
Yep. So that guy takes 24 damage.
And you are taking him into the afterlife.
Sweet. Alright, knoll number two, the one that just got bellied. I'm going to fire my second arrow at him.
Training a bead on, this fellow who was just a moment ago losing arrows.
16.
Okay, you're going to see this guy take a hit, roll damage.
Sweet. 3, 10, 20 damage.
Whoa. You can't quite tell, but it seems like you have taken out both.
Steve's gonna, like, just look down at the bow and be like, wow, why was I throwing daggers for so long?
Because you didn't have that kick-ass bow.
Yeah. yeah, this bow's all right. Okay. That's attack. Right. I'm happy where I am. I'm kind of just... So I guess what I've done is I'm just sidled up against the wall here, and as I've made my profile as small as possible, and I'm gonna can I just make sure I don't have any dickheads like crawling up behind me? I'm just gonna give like a quick 180 glance over
for the rest of my sure. Day. You can scope out the alleyway and your immediate environment, Steve. You know, your immediate surroundings. You're not being encroached upon.
Okay. How hard would it be for me to get up the side of one of these buildings?
Oh, for instance, you would one. Say with your... that's a fairly low building. You could probably make a fairly easy athletics roll up there, you know, 15 to 20 feet of your movement.
Sweet. I will do that. I want height.
Okay, roll me a quick athletics. Just don't fuck up.
Oh, God. 14 plus 4 for 18.
All right, that's clearing it. That's in the magic zone. So, yeah, Steve, you've increased your position in terms of height, and now you're getting a nice view of the top level of the keep of Iz, and I've just increased increased the visual range of the whole party. Does everybody see how you can see a bit more of the top of the keep now?
Yeah.
Totally
clear as day.
As you conclude then and have gained some height, you'd see your owl familiar wheeling above your three party members. And who is up next? None other than the half-orc.
So we've still got the three in front of us, right?
Yeah, one bloodied, and then the two guys.
Okay, well, I'll go after the bloody fellow again here. This time with the machete first in my strong hand, and my second hand will be the short sword. So the first one there. So Rob, I just gotta ask here, with the Voltic machete, whenever the bearer deals damage to a creature, the weapon gains a charge. As a bonus action, the bearer can use any number of charges to deal that much extra lightning damage on the next attack.
Oh, so nice. You can sleeve it up and have like four charges.
But it says if around 6 seconds goes by and the weapon has not struck a foe, it loses all charges.
It's fleeting. Okay, so it has to deal damage and then you can use the property. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, nice. Let's use this thing.
Okay, so that would be a 19.
Got no problem connecting with this gnoll in front of you.
Okay, and then with my short sword, that's a 10. So I miss on that one again. So with the machete, that one's going to deal four damage because it's a 1d8 plus one. So I rolled 3 plus 1, 4.
I mean, you are just lacerating his left side and where his armor is now being rent apart. But he's not killed.
What is the extra lightning damage that this charge does? Like, what does that deal?
It's equal to the damage that you dealt in the last round that gave it the charge.
Okay, so I get an extra, or I get another
4 damage.
Swipe four lightning with it. Yeah, but I'm going to save that charge and because I got another attack with my strong hand, right, which is my machete.
Yeah.
Correct.
So I could probably charge it again, So you could double charge it, right?
Yeah.
So second one, or my last attack with it is 21.
21 has no problem there, and I feel like this one you are stabbing true into the trunk of this gnoll warrior.
And I rolled a 8, so 9 damage.
You have now thrust your Voltaic machete right in to this guy, and although he sort of staggers against your sword, he's not killed, but you feel like he certainly must be very close.
Okay, and then as my bonus action, I'm going to hit him with, 9 plus 4.
For the charge?
Yeah.
13. You're expending all the charge, the 13 lightning damage?
Yeah.
So, as your blade sticks into this guy, tell me how this lightning will take him over the threshold of the living.
I feel like it'll come from the inside out, so it'll just kind of like hit him, but he'll stand there temporarily, and as he's standing there, there'll be like a light beam that just kind of comes from the inside out and just shatters into pieces, covering Kytella in guts and flesh and gore.
It's like you hit the taser button as it stabbed inside of him. You're just like,
nice. Yeah, I almost imagine that the machete has like a little button on it. So you inner tase this guy.
I've seen vibrators with that function.
There is now an explosion of gnoll and blue crackling lightning, and Rook, this guy is just shattered apart.
Cam vid gone wrong.
More clickbait.
Shitting yourself.
That's all I'm gonna do for you.
Yeah.
Okay, Rook. Yes. So as you withdraw your Voltaic machete and it's sort of steaming off and smoking here, who we got next in the fun train? Mr. Toa. Yeah, and you are down to 2 in your immediate grill range.
Okay, I am kind of... I'm still enraged. I'm not gonna... Great Weapon Master. Because apparently I need to hit a 20 in order for it to work. So I'm just gonna... But I'm gonna Reckless Attack, so I get advantage to strength. Disadvantage to strength for my turn. Or, like, I get advantage to strength attacks, but disadvantage to strength attacks against me.
Got it.
And I'm gonna hit with this Vodog again.
Vodog, ready.
non-nat 21.
Yeah, finally, you're cleaving.
Or, sorry, yeah. yeah.
Finally, Kaitoa, you're cleaving in.
Yeah, okay, sweet. No fucking time.
Roll damage.
Seven damage.
Gosh, that hit off that giant thing?
Yeah, I got a 3 for my d12, plus 2 for the added bonus for the Vodog, plus 2 for rage.
Yeah, there you go. And boy, has this thing sunk in about a half foot.
He's also got to do a d8 thunder save, a con save.
Oh, shit!
And I believe in the description it just says 10 plus my con. Or 10 plus your con, so a 12.
He's not passing that con save.
So he does a d8. Oh fuck, a 3. So 3 more damage.
3 off Vodog. So as you, how would you describe what's happening here as you cleave into flesh?
Same thing, taser button. It cleaves into him and then I just hit zap. That's my first attack, so I got one more. So I'm gonna hit this guy again. Ooh, natural 20. Sweet. sorry, I haven't hit a crit forever, so...
take the damage die and double it, so you roll 2d12 instead of 1d12.
Oh, right. Okay. So, fucking 3 again. Brutal, and a 2. 5 plus... do I add my modifiers twice?
So you add your
like my rage twice and the Vodog extra damage twice?
No. It's just the die roll twice plus Vodog plus rage plus your standard strength.
So 9 for damage for the second attack.
Okay, that's respectable.
Plus he's gotta do again the 12 con save. Which it failed last time, it's gonna fail this time, right? One would hope.
These guys aren't succeeding against that, so deal your Vodog axe lightning damage again.
So 9 and a d8, which is 4, so 13 damage.
Oh shit.
At least I put this guy down, I think.
Although he is not dead, Kaitoa, you feel like there's very little left of him left to mount an attack.
Yeah, that shit rolls all fucking...
And a third gnoll looks at you unscathed, Kaitoa, as you and Rook have dealt these flurry of blows, and Stolas soars above. Steve, what would you say Stolas is up to?
Well, I think what he's going to do is drop down... and which is this gnoll on the end that hasn't been hurt yet.
Yeah,
idly throw some wings up in his face and then back up. So this guy here gets advantage. Anyone who attacks him next gets advantage,
which will probably be Beleg.
Yeah, so the unscathed gnoll here gets a face full of feathers, Beleg, as you're now also, pressed up near the edge of the keep wall. You're seeing now in your immediate range just this one gnoll.
One gnoll.
Isn't there like one and a heap of a guy?
Yeah, one guy's still alive, right? There's two alive, but one guy's basically fucking dead.
Yeah, one guy needs a flick and he's dead. Sorry, it's the only thing I've done all round, so I'm quite proud of it.
Alright.
Oh, and Robin, I'm at disadvantage for this gnoll attack.
So I'm gonna attack the Stolas Knoll. It's just inside my 10 feet there.
These two gnolls are going to quickly mount their attack first there, Beleg.
Oh, shit. Let's go back there.
Sorry. I was off on another part of the map, guys. Anyways. Yeah, exactly.
Quick, let's keep the DM busy.
Fucking crit fail on this one, dude. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, he gets advantage, so he can roll twice.
That's right. Okay, Stumbly Knoll remembers he has advantage. Come on, we can do better than that.
If he's attacking the Kaito.
Yeah, if he's hitting me.
He manages to actually deal a blow to your legs. And
he's a fucking Black Knight.
It is not bad. you're going to half this thing, right? So yeah. 6 halved is 3.
Yeah, okay.
And the one who is more fresh also rolls an advantage. That's garbage. And that's trash as well. And he's seemingly momentarily stunned by looking to his left and seeing that one of his comrades has literally been, you know, eviscerated and exploded, and his other friend here looks like he's about to die, and he's unable to connect with you. Kaitoa, Beleg, now, as you stock up on this bloody scene, what you up to?
Okay. Just getting within my 10-foot range here. I'm going to hit the one that I have advantage on.
Are you sure you don't want to hit the crumpled mess on the ground?
I got a...
Stomp that motherfucker out.
Besides, you guys get to go before he does anyways. Alright, so I'm going to roll on the first one. That's 2 14s.
Oh, we're not fighting gnoll archers here. We're fighting armored gnolls, and the 14's not going to do it.
Well, I have another attack.
Do tell.
Oh, wow. That's another 14.
Nice. Add them all together, and you got yourself a hit.
Yeah. You got one hit.
So that's 3 14s, and then with my bonus action, I'm going to try and butt end the crumpled knoll on the ground.
You have a melee bonus action?
Yeah, with the polearm mastery, I get to use my butt end and bop him.
Please tell me you get to KO this crumple mess just by just bashing him on the head.
Stick the end of your polearm into his brain.
That one's a 19.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, this is what it's going to take. It looks like the butt end of the polearm is the right recipe.
It says using the same ability modifier as an ability you add to both roll and damage, right?
It would be your plus 2?
Plus 3.
Plus 3, yep.
I'll use my charisma. So that's 7 damage.
And thankfully. Yeah, you're taking him out with a final hit from your polearm, Beleg. What does that look like?
It looks like me, swinging wildly twice at the good guy and then just being like, fuck this, turn to the crumpled mess, and just like a frustration boop.
Mush his face.
Fuck you.
Mush.
Yeah.
You see then, now, only the fresh fellow able to deal any sort of damage here. Beleg, as you look around for your companion, Steve, you are quite a ways away now from the party. You're up on the roof there. Yep. And you would see now none of these, three patrolling gnolls to the north, 3 coming around the other side, and these 2 archers that were up on top. You would see none of them alive except for this last one in front of Kaitoa.
Well, I can help him join his friends. I'm going to fire a couple shots at him with the bow.
Okay, what's the range on that thing at the max? 150?
123 something.
Oh, no problem. Oh, it's just at the max range before things get tricky. But yeah, fire up that eager shortbow, buddy.
They never get tricky with my feet.
That's true, sharpshooter.
Yeah. So that is a 14 on the first shot, which I believe is going to miss.
Yeah, you believe correctly that will not penetrate armor.
17 on shot number 2.
Absolutely here. So probably one arrow has just not made it through the armor, but the second one is burying itself into this gnoll. Roll damage. +2 on a short bow.
Yes. So that is 14 plus sharpshooter for 10, 24.
That does it.
All right, there's a screeching arrow that has found itself, probably lodged like right into the collarbone area of this gnoll, the last at ground level here, who assaults the three party members. Steve, what else in your move? You got more attacks? You got more movement?
No, that's it for my attacks. I'm pretty happy where I am. Again, I just, once I'm done with the attack, I'm like scouring the area to see if there's anything else coming up on us.
Yeah, shit, I forgot to do that.
Roll a perception.
I can do that. Alright. Ugh, that's a one. But not a one because I'm using inspiration. That's not much better. That is a 13 altogether.
What is distracting the young boy, Steve, here, such that you can't see any immediate threats? So your curiosity would probably be mounting, and your apprehension would be mounting, but I'm afraid you're not seeing anything.
Okay. It's like one of those, it's quiet, a little too quiet situations.
Too quiet.
It's quiet. Too quiet.
And, Rook, you are now up as the bodies mount in front of you. Here are the entrails of one. Here is the body of another. And then just one final foe.
Well, he's within, obviously within my striking distance. So I will attack. First with Bached, then short sword. off the table roll. So that one's a 17.
No problem. As you sort of strike out in front of Kaitoa towards this guy with your short sword and machete, roll damage.
Deal short sword there. What did that come up? Oh, another 11. So, miss on my middle attack. Let's see what I did damage on my first one there. Drew that one. Oh, that's a nice 3.
Damn you, boy.
Ooh. And let's go my last attack here. Come on. Oh, damn it. That was a 7 total. So, missed on that last one.
But you also want to use charge, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, as my bonus action, I'm going to do a 3 charge.
Okay, so that's... What is the total after you add the final 3 charge there? Is that 10 total damage?
I think 6 it was a total.
Yeah, 3 damage, oh, God. 3 charge.
Yeah. Well, you probably know how many hit points this guy has left now. Okay, 6 damage.
And that's it for me. I guess. Yeah, that's it.
Kaitoa's back at it. You would see this guy now having simply been slashed and not killed by Rook still in front of you.
Yep. Still raging, but I'm going to reckless attack. No great weapon mastery.
Oh, so, do the great weapon. You
gotta no, because I got to hit a d20 for it to hit.
You got advantage, baby.
No way. I'm not. I've missed every time and I'm killing this dude. It's the last guy.
You have to live dangerously.
No, not doing it. Anyways, so 18, which hits.
That does hit. And like, Steve, are you using message right now to get into Kaitoa's yeah, mind?
I just know Steve's watching, and I know he's like, come on. Okay.
That hits.
So my first attack, Vodag does 14 damage, plus... He's got to beat the 12 con.
Woo! Okay, getting used to that. He does not.
Okay.
Jeez.
So he also takes one damage. So 15 damage for the first attack.
So that was 14 of the slashing from the axe, and just a little zap at the end.
Yeah.
Well, he is dead.
Yeah, there's no point. I figured. Okay.
The first slash here has been like absolutely devastating. And how would you say you finished this guy off, Kaitoa?
Really angrily slamming this thing down into him, and then just this like,
and he like just twitches and falls over.
And Kaitoa, with that swing of the axe and the little flourish at the end, the party has now cleared all of the ones here from the south that were up in Kaitoa's grill, and a momentary silence falls over the courtyard.
And that is where we will have to leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.